More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, with all due respect, are you tired of being treated poorly by the people in your life? Let us help you reclaim your God-given dignity. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life.
Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, with all due respect, you ever notice when somebody says that, they mean no respect?
Yeah, they're about to say something really disrespectful, but they've acknowledged it in a polite kind of backhanded way, so you're not allowed to call them out on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's our title for today's show that's focusing on disrespect. Are you tired of being treated poorly by somebody in your life? Maybe there's a particular person who's being disrespectful to you, who's talking down to you, ignoring you, belittling you. Maybe you're tired of your kids talking back, or your spouse treating you like a doormat. Maybe you've got a friend or family member who is taking you for granted. And as Christians, you know, how does God call us to respond to disrespect? When do we bear wrongs patiently? And how can we say enough's enough? And are we even allowed to do that?
Are you? You know? Especially after they've said, with all due respect.
You know, if these questions are making you think of the way someone's been treating you poorly, call in. Let us help you discover how to reclaim your God-given dignity. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
It can be so frustrating. And I think that many of us as Christian people often think that all we can do is offer it up, that somehow dealing with people running us down, not treating us well, is part of us becoming humble, of us not puffing ourselves up too much, or very often we get confused in the midst of it because somebody, especially people closer to us or people that we want to be close to, who treat us very well at times, maybe say very kind things, and then all of a sudden they're being disrespectful. They're running us down in some way. They're insulting us in some way. And it keeps us off balance. And we're thinking, well, they were just so nice yesterday or 5 minutes ago. Why are they doing this now? Oh, it must be me. And often people are very good at making sure that you know it's just you. And it's not. It's them. And being run down, being mistreated, is not part of learning the virtue of humility. It's about being degraded. And there's a very big difference between the two.
877-573-7825 is the number to call with your questions about the people in your life who are treating you disrespectfully. And, you know, that's that's not to say that there isn't a place for, as you were saying, Lisa, offering it up or bearing wrongs patiently. I mean, the difference, though, is if you know, because we all fall sometimes. We all treat other people disrespectfully once in a while.
Oh, certainly.
You know, but if it's a once in a while thing, and generally this person really works hard to try to be there for you and be respectful toward you, and they have a lapse, well, in that case, bearing wrongs patiently can be the best choice because you're giving them the space they need to self-correct and recognize that they're not being themselves, literally, and then on their own come to you and apologize for the way they've treated you, and you guys can talk through it then. But if you've got somebody who's habitually in that place, then loving that person actually means lovingly calling them out on it and saying, you know, you're better than this. What do we need to do to get there?
Or at least you're called to be better than this. And this is especially important if you're noticing a pattern of you kind of baby step up to correcting them and they turn it around and blame it on you. I wouldn't have said it or done it if you hadn't, dot, dot, dot. That's when we know they really do need to be called out and there's work that needs to be done.
So today's show, titled With All Due Respect, we're talking about the people in your life who are disrespecting you. Whether that's your kids talking back to you or your spouse treating you like a doormat or a friend or family member taking advantage of you, taking you for granted. We're talking about how, as Christians, we can respond gracefully to all kinds of disrespect. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. Now, you might be saying, well, what is that, and why should I care, and how could it possibly help me deal with disrespect, this highfalutin theology stuff you guys are talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. So St. John Paul gave a series of reflections when he was Pope that looked at how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that because we are created in the image and likeness of God, we have a right to expect to be loved and respected by each other. In his book, Love and Responsibility, St. John Paul described what he called the personalistic norm. Now, that's a term he used to assert the idea that every human being has a right to be treated like a person, not a thing. Each person has a God-given right to be loved and respected no matter what. In fact, the reason we feel shocked when we are treated poorly is that it's because God built into each person a sense of his divinely given right to be treated as his sons and daughters. We don't claim that dignity on our own. God gave it to us as his gift. When we appropriately stand up for ourselves, we aren't being selfish. We're protecting the gift God gave us by insisting that people recognize the dignity we are all owed as God's sons and daughters.
You know, when we're treated in a manner that offends our dignity as persons, we have a God-given right to address that offense, as long as we remember that the person who offended us has a right to be treated like a person, too. You know, and to pull that off, because it ain't easy, we need to understand the difference between setting boundaries and being defensive. You know, when we're defensive, we forget that the offender is actually a person. We get our back up. We lash out. How dare you do that to me, you jerk? You know, it's an understandable, but still inappropriate reaction. So setting a graceful boundary in the face of disrespect means not tolerating the disrespect while also not taking it personally. Well, there's a trick. So instead of lashing out, what does that look like? Instead of lashing out, we for example, could say something like, look, I can tell you're frustrated with me, but I'm not your enemy. How could we work through this together and take care of each other while we do it? That's a very different way of responding to disrespect than what comes naturally to most of us.
And it's very difficult to do when we've sort of been knocked over a bit by somebody's disrespect toward us. So let's talk about how we can help that happen in your life and the situations that you're facing. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Today's show is titled With All Due Respect, as we talk about dealing with the disrespectful people in our lives, whoever they are and however they are disrespecting us. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. And let's start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for all the people that you've placed in our lives, even the disrespectful ones. But we ask, Lord, for the grace to deal with disrespectful people and disrespectful actions in ways that will glorify you, in ways that help us be our best selves, and in ways that enable us to challenge the offender to be their best selves too, so that even in the face of misunderstandings and crossed wires and competing needs and all the other things that provoke disrespectful responses from others, we can build your kingdom by responding to these challenges in your grace and by responding mercifully but with strength so that we can help each other become everything you created us to be. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on More to Life, with all due respect, we're talking about the people who deal with us disrespectfully and how to respond in an effective way. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Andy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Idaho.
Hi, Andy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you. So my question is, how or what is the best way to respond to a 13-year-old daughter who is very arrogant and proudful and is constantly having a really bad tone on answering any question that is dumb?
Give me a concrete example. I mean, so you're defining a 13-year-old in general. This is sort of part of the 13-year-old's job description. But give me a concrete example of how she might talk about this with you so that we could walk through that example and you could kind of apply that those same ideas to all the other situations where she's disrespectful.
Okay, so it's very constant. So perfect example this morning. My technique has literally been trying to just give her space and ignore as much as possible. But, you know, we're just taking her to school and we're having just a chat. And all of a sudden she says a joke, which is, I guess, kind of like they have their own jargon, which I didn't understand what she said.
Like, welcome to parenthood in this century, yeah.
And she's like, never mind, Mom. It's okay. You don't understand. But that
you're totally skibbity Ohio, Mom.
Exactly.
Sorry, go ahead. All right.
Andy gets it. Yeah.
I just ignored, I literally, what I've done in the past is just essentially say, you know, I would appreciate if you change your tone, work on your tone. You know, I'm a human being. I have feelings. You know, because I really try to, not to toot my own horn, but I try to keep my, you know, even though inside I'm just want to, you know.
Yeah, no, I get it. So I'm going to hop in just because we have to go to our break in a couple of minutes, and I want to give you some thoughts here. So here's the thing. Look, you have a beautiful heart, you know, and you're obviously, you know, a very loving mom, and I think that's terrific. The problem with the approach that you're using is that you're ignoring and you're begging, but you're not teaching.
Yeah, right? You're trying to convince her when you're saying, you know, please treat me. I'm a human being. I have feelings. You're trying to convince her that you are,
and
rather
that assumes
than coming from a place of I respect myself, and I respect you enough to correct your behavior and have you live up to that correction.
And the problem with that approach is you're assuming she knows what to do. And she might even know, theoretically, that she's supposed to be nice or she's supposed to be respect. But she doesn't know, as a 13-year-old, and very few 13-year-olds do, she doesn't know how to be respectful or be kind or be appropriate when she's feeling grumpy or when she's feeling upset or when she's in this particular situation. She doesn't know how to get from where she is and what she feels to where you need her to be and where she needs to be in that moment.
Yeah, or even in general conversation these days, because as you clearly said, Andy, go on the internet. Every adult over the age of 21 is trying to explain the language and the tone and the disrespect of people under 21 because it's just a culture right now. So this is something that needs to be taught, to her in a gentle but firm way, in a way that gives her the skills, just like you would teach her how to, like, eat a nice meal at a restaurant or something.
So there are two steps to what I'm going to ask you to do. Well, three steps, really. So step one, okay, is empathize. Honey, I can tell that you're really frustrated right now. I can tell that you're upset with me. I can tell, whatever. Say the empathetic thing first, all right? It's hard enough to do that, but that lets them know that we're at least trying to listen to them. Step two is, but there's something about the way you're saying that that's really hurtful, and I'm going to need you to try that again. How could you say that to me in a way that's actually kind and respectful? Okay. Step three is, now you're going to prevent her from moving on to the next thing until she does the thing. Now, when I say that, I don't mean you're having a chip on your shoulder the whole time. I mean you're being helpful. Like you're saying, I want to help you say this better. I can tell that you're frustrated. I want to help you communicate yourself better to me so we can have a good relationship, okay? How can you say that again? Let's try that. If she doesn't do that, if she doesn't work through that with you, for example, using the situation you described in the car taking her to school, I'd pull over on the side of the road, put my four-way flashers on, assuming it was safe, and say, honey, we're gonna sit here until we work this out. I'm not unleashing you on the public with that attitude. So let's try this again. Can you please say that to me with a kind tone and with appropriate words? And I promise I will do my best to hear whatever it is you're trying to say. And by the way, again, you're not saying, you don't say that to me, or you're not lecturing,
you're not lashing out, and you're not begging. You're just saying, this is what's expected, and you can even give her the words. You know, in your situation, you can say, you're right. You guys are using some words that I don't understand, but I respect you enough and want to understand what's funny for you and be part of your life. So take a minute and kindly explain that to me so that I can understand what's going on. And then have her do it. And if she says it in a snotty voice, say, well, thank you for trying to explain it. Now let's change the tone. And she changes the tone a little bit, but still rolls her eyes. And then you say, you're really getting there in terms of how you're supposed to show people respect, and especially me. So try it one more time. Explain it
without
in a respectful tone, and don't roll your eyes this time. Look at me respectfully.
So the point is, you're teaching her.
Step by step.
And by the way, and again, this is not, you're not being mean through this. It's not, say it again. I want to help you get there. You're doing a good job. Let's try it again. And you're not letting her move on until she does what you need her to do in the moment. And she shows you that she can use the right tone, use the right words, use the right facial expression. And then you can move on. But do not let her move on to the next thing in her life until she demonstrates what you are asking her to do. And again, this might be she's mad at you. Okay, so you're not telling her not to be mad at you. You're saying, I'm okay with you being mad at me, but I need you to express it in a respectful way. How could you tell me that you're upset about this or upset with me in a way that was actually thoughtful and respectful? Let's work on it. And you do not let her move on to the next thing, no matter what it is, until she demonstrates that for you with your help.
But Andy, I just want to sum this up by saying this is a skill that needs to be taught, with us using self-control, a level voice, and insisting on behavior. We've done this before. We've done the tantrums when they're two. We've taught them how to tie their shoes and use the bathroom. We can teach them this.
And as a follow-up here, I'd love for you to become part of the Catholic Home Community. That's Households on Mission. Download the Catholic HOM app and be a subscriber, where you can get daily coaching on these kinds of issues, tons of creative resources to help you help your daughter become everything God created her to be, and feel confident as a Catholic parent doing it. We really hope that you'll become part of the Catholic Home Community to get that support that we would love to give you every day. Check it out, Catholic HOM. Download it wherever you get your apps. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, more with All Due Respect as we talk about the disrespectful people in our lives. 877-573-7825.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Announcing again our popular St. Paul Mediterranean cruise and pilgrimage, visiting over 10 biblical sites. You'll never read the New Testament the same again after exploring Athens, Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica, Philippi, Crete, and the Greek Isles, and much more. Mass at Mary's House. Our luxurious celebrity cruise liner awaits you.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, With All Due Respect. We're talking about the people in our life who treat us disrespectfully, and how can we respond as Christians effectively, confidently, in a way that helps us find solutions. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Bill Donahue from the Theology of the Body Institute. Hey, Bill, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning, good morning. Good to be with you both.
Well, you know, we were talking on the break. You know, St. John Paul, the developer of the Theology of the Body, was also fond of saying wherever he went, be not afraid. And you wanted to talk a little bit about how that phrase, how that exhortation to be not afraid relates to our ability to deal with disrespect. Connect the dots here, would you?
Yes, yes. It was, of course, one of the most popular phrases of John Paul II, right from his inauguration in 1978. Well, it was many, many years later in Crossing the Threshold of Hope, a great book, where he said, of what should we not be afraid? Because maybe people were thinking, is it nuclear war? Is it a pro-death culture? What is it we're not supposed to fear? And he said, do not be afraid of the truth of who you are. And I remember reading that for the first time and thinking, whoa, that's deep. And I think it does, you know, dovetail into your conversation this morning. Don't be afraid of the truth of who you are. In other words, rise up to your dignity. Accept that you are a beloved son or daughter of God. And no matter what the tumultuous waves of disrespect are slapping up against you, put down deep roots in the truth of who you are and that connection to Christ who's come into the world and into our very bodies in the Eucharist gives us that stability. And I think that can give us the confidence we need, too, to be able to make our voice heard when we're disrespected.
Yeah, I want to unpack that a little bit because that's huge. And in fact, that's actually in a different direction. We're having that exact same discussion in our deeper dive discussion on the Catholic Home app this week, where we're talking about how important it is to become what we are and what that means. But you know, in dealing with disrespect, as I'm kind of remembering who I am, right? Say that quote again. I'm sorry. I want to make sure that everybody heard that.
Yeah, from JP2. You know, be not afraid.
Do not be afraid.
Cry out. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the truth of who you are.
Do not be afraid of the truth of who you are. So, you know, I'm not a doormat. I am not a whipping post. You know, I'm a beloved son of God. My wife is a beloved daughter of God. You know, but I'm not an attacker. I'm not an aggressor. I'm not a disrespectful person myself. And so in dealing with disrespect, how do I receive that as a beloved son or daughter of God? How do I respond to it as a beloved son or daughter of God that calls the disrespectful person to act like that beloved son or daughter of God too? So I'm not just putting up with it because I feel like, oh, that's my cross. It's I'm being an instrument of grace and healing in this other person's life too by remembering who I am and remembering who they are and reminding them to be that person.
Yeah. In other words, it's sort of, we're not on the defense, we're on the offense. Like we're radiating out of us, literally out of our bodies, a presence, like the divine presence of God. And I'm a very visual person. I'm a big movie guy. Talking and thinking about this theme this morning, I went to The Passion of the Christ, the film by Mel Gibson, and Jim Caviezel's presence in that film as Jesus was so potent because even when he was being disrespected in the Passion, people could see radiant power, beauty, confidence. He knew who he was. And there's these constant, when we watch that movie, you see the look of Jesus to somebody and the effect just his gaze upon him had. It showed that he was not afraid. He was not afraid of the cross. He could feel it, but he wasn't afraid of it because he knew who he was. He knew the truth of who he was.
Well, and he also knew who the truth of each one of us is. That's why he was himself to us. Go back to the theology of the body, you know, St. John Paul II was always about invitation, inviting those to discover who they are in Christ and to join it with those who already do. And this is very much the same as that visual you're giving us, Bill. It's that idea of even in suffering, he gazed upon his people with that invitation to know who they are and join him in love. And that's what we need to be doing when we are calling people who are disrespecting us on to better behavior.
Bill, thank you so much for being with us. And if folks would like to learn more about the great work that you guys do at the Theology of the Body Institute, I encourage them to go to TOBInstitute.org. That's TOBInstitute.org. And Bill, thanks again for being with us, sir.
Thank you. God bless.
All right, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. And we're talking about graceful ways to dealing with disrespect. Is someone in your life being disrespectful to you, talking down to you, ignoring you, belittling you? Maybe you're tired of your kids talking back or your spouse treating you like a doormat. Maybe a friend or family member is taking you for granted. As Christians, how do we respond to all that? Well, we're unpacking that today on More to Life. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Corda offers Catholic candles that translate the lives of the saints into scents. There are candles for the Holy Family, St. Michael the Archangel, St. Therese of Lisieux, Padre Pio, and more. And they come boxed with the story behind the scent. Corda is a Catholic small business run by a husband and wife team, and each coconut wax candle is handcrafted. More information can be found at cordacandles.com. That's CORDA candles.com.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. When feeling attacked, judged, or misunderstood, our natural tendency is to react, to lash out, and defend ourselves. We assume that the other person intends to be offensive. But even when it seems like someone is being purposefully antagonistic, we don't really know their true intentions. That's why charity and good psychology remind us that instead of reacting harshly, we can choose to be humble and give the other person the benefit of the doubt. That doesn't mean letting people walk all over us. It means that the best way to challenge an antagonistic person's bad behavior is to ask questions that clarify what they're trying to accomplish so that we can help them find kinder, more loving ways to get their point across and meet their needs. Clarifying questions don't accuse or challenge the other person. They hold up a mirror that forces the antagonistic person to ask themselves, is the way I'm acting really helping me get my needs met? To learn more graceful ways to deal with conflict, visit CatholicCounselors.com or check out our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People.
Back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled, With All Due Respect. We're talking about disrespectful people and how to respond gracefully to those disrespectful people in your life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Before we talk to our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another great radio EWTN radio partner. Cor Christi Academy, with two stations serving Wenatchee, Washington, is celebrating 11 years with EWTN.
Outstanding. Hey, congratulations to John Haberman, Michael Drollman, and their great team at Cor Christi Academy. From all of us here at EWTN. And wherever you are tuning into EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you are supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station. Let's keep EWTN on the air for decades to come so that we can keep supporting you and everybody you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Again, thanks to Michael Drollman and John Haberman at Cor Christi Academy for 11 years with EWTN. 877-573-7825. We're talking about disrespect. Who's up next, Lisa?
We're talking now with Michelle, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
On Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey, Michelle, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you for your show, and thank you for everything that you do. I have a question for you regarding my daughter-in-law.
Okay.
We have a very close family. Four of my children live very close to me with all my grandkids. And then I have my son and my daughter-in-law that live about 6 hours from us. And they've been almost married 7 years. And I think that she's always felt like she's not part of the family because of the distance. And different situations throughout the years, I think she just feels like we don't give them as much time, but I think a lot of it has to do with the distance. Recently, I was unable to make a trip down there, and she got very upset with me and basically told me that she doesn't want any contact with me, that I have to go through my son, and they're expecting a baby in June, which in the past I've always been very involved with their other three children and with the relationship. I think the biggest concern that I have is that her mother passed away a couple years ago, and prior to that she was not talking to her mother, and I'm feeling like a lot of that grief and the way she's feeling is being reflected back upon me. I loved reading your book, Having Meaningful Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters. That really has helped me. But I think I just want to know if you have any other advice besides I'm taking the advice of my son, just stepping back, giving her space, and going through him.
So I have some more context for this. Why was it that you weren't able to make the trip and what do you think kind of triggered her about that?
I was sick. I had an upper respiratory problem for a week prior to making the trip, and then the week of the trip, I still was not feeling really well.
Yeah, no, you had perfectly legitimate reason for not going. So what do you think stopped her from seeing that? Why do you think she saw that as an offense instead of just recognizing you genuinely were sick?
I just kind of feel, and I don't think she does this intentionally, but I think it reflects back on her, the way she was raised. I don't think that her heart is, you know, trying to do this, but it's to kind of a form of a habit. She's kind of a fight and flee kind of person, where our family, it's like if we have a problem, we try to sit down and discuss it.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, Anne, because for you to say, you know, I'm sorry, you're saying that you discuss things together as a family.
Yes.
Why aren't you discussing this more deeply with your son? It's one thing if your daughter-in-law, Michelle, has these different ideas and ways of dealing with things because of her own individual upbringing. But if your son is used to, even with the distance, if your son is used to feeling heard, respected, upheld by the family, why isn't he talking to you and saying, hey, this is what we need from you. This is where she's coming from.
Or even talking to his wife and saying, we need to sit down.
We've had numerous conversations. No. He has.
But
we've really, really discussed it with him. I just think that I feel like I'm putting him in the middle of it, and I don't want to do that. And I would never, ever want to be the cause of turmoil in their
marriage. Does he see a way forward?
He's feeling like she, I think he sees her disrespect, and he sees the way that he acts, but I think he's got such a kind heart that he's just trying to support his wife, and he knows that I will, as he knows how I am, and he knows that I will just take it, kind of thing.
Okay, I mean, I hear what you're saying. Where I'm kind of getting a little tripped up is there's only so much you can do, right? But I would if assuming that you and your son are you know, like you say, you're used to talking things out and trying to, you know, work through things and stuff. I would gently challenge your son that to love his wife is to gently challenge her to work through this in a grown-up way. I mean, that's a spouse's job. That's what Lisa does for me whenever I'm behaving childishly, and what I do for her whenever she behaves childishly. Sometimes we all do, right? And so, you know, to be able to say to him, "Look, son, I'm going to respect your wife's, you know, boundary," and you need to, because if you don't respect the boundary, as over the top as it is, she's just going to keep responding in that fight or flight kind of way, where she just keeps pushing you even further away and shutting down even more. But you want to let your son know, hey, look, I really need you to help find a way forward here. You know, we as a family talk through stuff, and I think it's important for you, son, to lovingly say to your wife, hey, how do we find a way through this? You know, mom was sick, and this is not a reasonable way to respond to that. You know, what do we need from mom and you know, what do we need from them? How can we kind of work through this?
And not just. I want you to be very, very careful with this, Michelle. Never use the words, so I can see my grandchildren, so I can meet the baby. God knows we all want to spend time with our grandbabies, and we want to make sure we have a relationship with them. But the frontline relationship is always with our child and their spouse. And unless that child, and they're not in this situation, but for our other listeners, unless that child of yours is going through a divorce, that becomes a whole different thing. But if they are together, if they have a solid marriage or are working on a solid marriage, those are the frontline relationships. Don't even mention the grandchildren. You know, yes, you might want to throw in at some point, since you're not open to us coming and visiting yet because you're having this new baby and I know a lot's going on, how can we support you from here? Can we order you dinner? Are there certain things you need for the baby still that we can send? So you're letting them know that you want to support this new child coming into your lives, but very much make this about, hey, this is not just about me and my feelings, son. This is about us having a cohesive family, being able to be close to each other, being able to have a family, you know, for generations to come.
And helping your wife heal these wounds that she's got that are causing her to respond in this way. That's just really not helpful.
And I want to know what steps we can start to take to help her feel safe, help her feel respected, and to develop that relationship in a way that works for all of us.
Because the problem is, you're right? I mean, if you just let it go, eventually she's a person who doesn't want to deal with stuff. And like you said, she didn't talk to her mom even when her mom was dying. And she's going to do the same thing to you. If somebody's not helping her say, look, you're allowed to have your feelings, and it's okay to kind of take some space when you need it, but ultimately you have to work through stuff, and you can't just cut people out of your life. And that's her husband's job, your son, right? And so I would challenge you to lovingly challenge him to be the husband God's calling him to be, and lovingly challenge his wife to face and heal some of these wounds. And I would also ask if there's some way that you could stay in some kind of contact with her, whether that's through texting or by sending a card every once in a while or whatever, where you're not pretending there isn't a problem, but you're saying, look, I love you and I want to have a relationship with you, and I was always raised to try to work through things, and when you're ready, I would love to work through this with you, because I really do want to be here for you.
And when the baby is born, send them stuff. You know, budget for it now. Send them meals. Send them a gift basket. Send them a big balloon bouquet.
Not just
Make
gifts sure for the baby, but
that
for
you're
them.
Celebrating the fact that their family and all of you are experiencing the joy of this child. Even though you can't be there, don't make a big deal about that. Just let them know your presence and that you love them.
I'm sorry you're going through this, but I do believe that especially if you, what you're saying about the way you raised your kids, you know, to work through stuff, that your son would be willing to work with you to find a way to gently challenge his to face these feelings and work through them with you too. All right, with that, we have to go to break, but as we do, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him.
And this is such an important verse to remember. You know, I believe it was St. Ephraim, I want to say. Could have that wrong, but there, the story in my head was that Saint Ephraim held up a coin in ancient Rome. Okay, and on the coin, on one side of the coin is the face of the emperor, and he said, you know, what would happen if you defaced this coin, the image of the emperor? And of course, at that time, the punishment was death for intentionally disfiguring any image of the emperor. And he said, well, so how much more so will God hold us accountable for defacing somebody who is made in his image, the image of the King of Kings? And we need to remember that God created us in his image. We are beloved sons and daughters of God who deserve to be treated with respect and who deserve to treat others with respect, so that we are not defacing that image of God in us or in others. Are you struggling with somebody who's treating you disrespectfully? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit avemariafunds.com.
Our 20th anniversary Danube River cruise was spectacular. Due to popular demand, we have again chartered our own exclusive and brand new ship for a Rhine River cruise to four European countries with the most beautiful churches in Catholic history in Europe. The trip is already half sold out. Join us in June 2027. Immerse yourself in the rich Catholic heritage of Europe.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, go to avemariaradio.net and find the travel link.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
That They May Be One, a docudrama featuring Cardinal Renero Condoleezza, Dr. Mary Healy, and Francis Chen,
exploring how the Holy Spirit has been working across generations and denominations to answer the prayer of Jesus.
Church is meant to look like the Church of the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read Acts, you see just how far we are.
In theaters May 19th and 20th. More information at thatthaymaybeonefilm.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled, With All Due Respect, as we talk about dealing gracefully with disrespectful people. By the way, you know, disrespect happens a lot in parent-child relationships, and it's often hard to know how to teach our kids to be respectful. That's one of the reasons we created the Catholic HOM app. That's Catholic Home, stands for Households on Mission, where Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors provide daily parent coaching to all the subscribing members of Catholic Home with their questions about living the faith at home, handling behavior issues, just creating a more loving, caring, connected Catholic family life. It's based on research that we did through the University of Georgetown that looked at families who successfully raised all of their kids to a faithful adulthood. We're teaching those families habits to all families through Catholic HOM. You can check out all that coaching and get tons of creative resources, including monthly downloadable activities, an actually professionally animated cartoon series that teaches your whole family how to be a domestic church, monthly live streams, exclusive podcast content, and so much more. Check it out. Become a subscriber to the Catholic Home community today, wherever you get your apps. Get 2 months free with an annual subscription of $149, or choose the monthly option of $14.95 a month. It's a bargain. And all the resources you and your spouse and all your kids can get from Catholic Home. Check it out. With that, let's go to our next caller. Lisa, who's up?
We're talking now with Susan.
Susan in South Dakota, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi. I'm just calling to ask what to do with a boss who's a female, maybe 10 years younger than me, I'm older, and who's extremely disrespectful towards me, and excludes me and a lot of things that are going on. I'm a cook, and well, even when I come into work, she won't say, hi, how are you, and how's your day, but she'll say that to everybody else. And she only deals with me with work. You know, if I have a question or she wants to talk to me about work, nothing else. But everybody else, she's all nice to. And there was a little bit of a scrape with a coworker where, you know, we had a disagreement. And she didn't talk to me for probably over a month. And just, but
the boss did not, or the boss did not, or the coworker.
The boss
did not. The boss. And have you ever asked her about it?
Like that. Too.
Have you ever asked her?
No.
Any particular reason why?
I just, like, want to avoid her.
Well, she's avoiding you, I think that the first step, anytime somebody's being offensive to us, the first step is to challenge it charitably and directly. And so I would really encourage you to go to your boss and say, hey, look, don't call your boss out on her behavior. Say, hey, look, it seems like I get the impression that there's something going on between us, that you're dissatisfied with me or something about me. And I want you to know that if there's an issue, you can talk to me directly about it. I get the sense that, you know, you're avoiding me, or you're, you know, not talking to me the way you talk to some of the other people. And I just want you to know that if there is something that we need to work out or something that you need to say to me, you know, I'd rather you just say it to my face and let's figure this out together. Now, if you do that and nothing changes, I'd start looking for another job, because there's not much you can do beyond that. But I do think that you have not only a right, but an even an obligation to say something directly. And the reason I say that is because you have an obligation to God to honor the fact that he has created you as a beloved daughter of God. You have an obligation to yourself to not allow people to treat you that way, you know, with it, assuming that you can do something about it. And you have an obligation to work for your boss's good by charitably giving her the opportunity to change her behavior. So, you know, you don't have to be confrontational about it. Again, don't accuse her of anything. Don't make this about her behavior.
And also don't beg for the reasons why. You know, so what did I do? Why are you treating me this way? Just say, there seems to be something going on, and I want you to know that if there is, you can directly talk to me about it.
Because I do feel like there's something that you're trying to say to me, and you're not communicating directly, and I don't know what to do with that. So you just put it out there and see what happens. If she takes that invitation, then she's a healthy person, and she can be a healthy boss, and you could probably thrive there. If she doesn't, no matter what you do, it's not going to get any better. I'd start looking for a new job.
Yeah, do your job as best you can. Get along with those that you get along with. Do your best to ignore her behavior as long as she's not treating you worse than that. But be looking for another position while you do.
All right. Thanks, Susan, for the call. We're going to go to Susan in Florida, who's got a question for us. Susan, we've only got about 4 minutes, but I want to get your question in. What can we do for you?
Hello?
Yeah. Susan, yes. You about
what's up?
A few minutes here. What can we do for you?
I also have an adult son who won't talk to me, like one of the earlier callers with the daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, he will respond to some texts, but I'm just wondering if you have any advice.
Yeah, when did things break down? What could you track it back to?
Well, he's got a large pool of anger from the time he was 7 when his dad left. But before Christmas, I put a miraculous medal in his room in a place where I didn't think he would find it, which he found disrespectful when he found it. And I agree, I shouldn't have done it. He has an issue with territory and respect. And I
Does he live with you,
that.
Susan?
No, he lives in a house he's renting from me. And he used to have me take care of his dog. Hence, I was in the house, and I put this miraculous medal there.
I see.
I have apologized by text because he won't talk to me. So, and he's done the same thing to his dad. He hasn't talked to him in like 7 years. And it's kind of a pattern in his dad's family to do that. And I did not teach him, like I should have, how to communicate when he's experiencing emotions like anger.
All right. Well, so just because I only have about 2.5 minutes, I want to jump in. You're in a fortunate position because he rents from you. So you own the property that he lives at, which gives you a reason to go over and gives you a reason to still be in his life, whether he wants you there or not. And I think that you don't want to. Think of it as fishing, all right? If you're fishing and your line is tight, right, there's a certain balance you need to keep where you're letting some line out so the fish doesn't rip off the hook and escape, but also not letting so much line out that you never reel the fish in. There has to be a tension there. So you're being an obvious presence in his life so that you are a regular irritant that he has to deal with, but you're not irritating him so much that it causes even bigger blowups. And when you're there, you're saying, look, this ignoring me thing isn't going to play. I love you too much to let you get away with this. All right. So if you have something to say to me, say it. Let's work it out. Let's deal with this. But this whole ignoring me thing just isn't going to work. You know, and I love you too much to let you get away with this anymore. If you're not sure how to do that, and find the way really to be strong enough in the face of that, to be that beloved daughter of God and call him to be that beloved son of God at this point in his life, then I encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and also to pick up a copy of our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters, which really looks at how to build rapport with an adult child like this. But I think that really praying about finding that balance between not letting him drop you entirely, but not blowing it up by just being constantly in his face is important, because you want to create the situation where he needs to deal with you, and where you can then guide that in those interactions by insisting that they that you want to be here for him, and that you can be grown-ups with each other.
And Susan, here's the deal, you know. So he finds a miraculous medal in his room. I mean, first of all, we have to be direct with our children and respectful, but we just doing something that passive on your part is not helpful. Pray for him, yes. But you need to be able to say to him at some point, son, you got a lifetime of stuff to talk to me about. Let's start doing this. And if you need to do it with a professional around so we can cut through this and we can both heal and have a relationship, let's do it.
All right, so Susan, you and any other listener who is stuck in a disrespectful situation with somebody in your life and you know, you're trying to figure out how to move forward? Well, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.